We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I've shied away from
social media.
I definitely don't want to be consumed in it, but I think it's an art to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want to have fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And while I put my people worth anything unless I have my people with me.
I get my people. Huh? I want my people and your people get together with my people.
Can these guys do anything on their own?
No.
Can any of them do something on their own without posse, friends, club?
This goes back really to these kids when they were young. You know, everybody talks about the AAU generation.
I think it's a problem.
Really? I mean, I think it goes all the way back. You know, Kyrie Irving, when he was before Duke, you know, when he was AAU, and McDonald's All-American, and it was just sort of like, this is where I'm headed, and I've been comfortable my whole life because I've had my people around me, because you know why? Everyone around me kisses my ass.
Nobody ever says no.
But even more so?
Because I'm the ticket.
But
so they're going to come with me to Duke, and they're going to come with me to Cleveland, because I need these people around me. Because these people are the rock. They're the rock in my life. They tell me how good I am on a daily basis, and how nothing is ever my fault.
The other thing is that it does it. That lifestyle, that AAU, let's reclass, let's do this, let's go to a school, let's switch teams. It conditions you to be okay with leaving whatever situation you're in.
Yep.
It conditions you to be disloyal. Not that, you know, but there is a lot of it in the AAU world because they're constantly bringing guys in trying to get the best team. But you become okay with it. What about your teammates?
Well, LeBron's kid's a stud, right? He took him out of Cleveland. Why?
Bronny.
Well, because LeBron wanted to be a superstar, movie star.
But he wanted his kid to play at that team in L.A.
Yeah with Gary Payton's kid, is it? I think it is.
So it's just like, okay, so he just moved his team to a different team. So how old is this kid? 14?
No idea.
So
I think
already,
he is 14.
At this age, it's like, okay, you know what? This school's not good enough for me anymore. I'm going to go play at this school, and my daddy's going to take me there. And I'm going to play with the best players. And I'm going to form relationships. And maybe a couple of us will decide to go to the same AAU team. And you know what? I don't like the AAU team. So that AAUT coach over there who's got the best one, he's going to actually recruit me. He's going to take me off of my AAU team, which is not bad, but not good enough for me. I'm a better, too good to be with these guys. So I'm going to be switching AAU teams because that's who I am. And everyone's kissing my ass because they want me on their team. And then I get recruited by college. And then everyone's kissing my ass there, too.
And oh, by the way, we're only recruiting you for 1 year anyway, so a year. It's 9 months.
Which is why Scal, remember that one time, never forget talking about Giannis and why he loved Giannis so much? Because he didn't grow up in any of this crap. He grew up overseas where he had to, like, work. He had to do everything from the early age. It wasn't this, what these kids now, this class in the NBA, what they grew up with 10 years ago. When they were 14 years old,
so I always ask, and I don't know if you're going to get to this, but when did it go wrong with Kyrie?
Well, if you listen to Jackie McMullen said he had issues with the city. Apparently, did not like living in Boston. He had issues with Brad Stevens. That makes sense because star players a lot of times want to do it their way and
trust the process.
They go into practice and they're looking at the game plan against Indiana that night, and they're sitting there going, "What are you talking about? I could take that guy one on one. What are we moving the ball for? What are we doing this for?"
Well, the Kemba Walker line
exactly
goes off on us every single time because I don't know. For some reason we decide to defend him this way and. Other teams defend him this way, and I don't know why we do it, but hey, he goes off on us every single time.
And I'll guarantee you, he bitched about that at practice, and Brad said, just do it my way. And then, of course, Jackie McMullen said he also had an issue with Danny Ainge. Now, Rick Bucher of the Bleacher Report basically says that Ainge, he believes, and he's getting it from Irving's people, no specific reason has been given for a change of heart in suddenly Kyrie Irving turning his back on Boston, although a source close to Irving points to a tiff with team president Danny Ainge about how Irving was attempting to lead the club. And then he goes on to talk about...
Good for Danny.
Irving at one point pretended to sincerely argue the Earth was flat. I think he was sincerely arguing.
Was he a good leader? I mean, somebody needed to sit there and say, hey, can you stop going to the media and blaming everybody else?
Yeah.
Is this the way you want to lead through the media by ripping your teammates through the media? Is this what we're doing?
Yeah, somebody had to explain that was a bad idea. That was a bad way of going about, and you know, and do you think he was real combative with it either? Do you think Danny Ainge was like, man, what the hell is wrong with you? You can't talk to these kids like that.
No.
Because I've only seen Danny Ainge, well, I mean, you probably know him better, obviously, post-basketball career, as far as when he's handling the media, or maybe there's some outbursts on the sideline when a play, or there's a bad call, but he seems pretty tempered. He seems pretty calm and cool, and if he was trying to teach a lesson or you try to, you know, explain something to one of the guys on his team, he would probably be pretty good at it.
Yeah,
hey, listen, I'm just hearing this. I'm on your side. First of all, I'm on your side. Like that is, you're gonna. That's not the. I would do it a different way because here's some bad things. Because I want you to be a Celtic, so let's learn from our mistakes here.
That's the problem you have with NBA players today. They're superstars. You can't tell them anything. You can't tell LeBron something he doesn't want to hear.
But Kyrie's not LeBron.
Yeah, but Danny's telling Kyrie something he doesn't want to hear. He's probably saying to him, "You can't be this harsh publicly with these young kids."
You threw your guys on. You forget about young guys. What if they were vets?
Right.
He didn't have to worry about Horford because Horford just does his job and he's never in the way. He doesn't say anything. What if they were like veterans who were just not doing their job?
Yeah, who cares?
You can't throw your guys under the bus, period. Publicly, cryptically, in a haiku. It doesn't matter.
Well, the other thing we saw with Kyrie, he's very impulsive. And we saw it when he came out that
emotional.
Night.
Right.
Irrational, impulsive. He came out that night and he suddenly interrupts Scal and he wants to tell everybody, if you'll have me back, I'll come back. Did he really mean it? I think he did at that very moment. But a week later, he might have been saying, what the hell did I do that for? And we saw it during the course of the year when he did screw up and he realized people were calling him out for being a little too harsh with the kids. What did he do? He came out, got the media in front of him, kind of apologized, even admitted that he called LeBron to try to figure out how do I deal with the young players. So it's all very impulsive and it all changes. What we're hearing right now is that he's trying to get Kevin Durant to play together with him in Brooklyn. Maybe Brooklyn won't take him without Kevin Durant or without a significant other. Why would Brooklyn do that right now? They need two players if they're going to actually become, you know, in the game here. And I'm reading out again out of Rick Bucher because he's got a lot of stuff. Durant and Irving, league sources say, have met twice in recent weeks to discuss their desire to continue their careers on the same team, an idea forged while playing together on the U.S. national team. Okay? But the indication from several league sources is that Durant right now is not happy with the Warriors. I'll give you this. The indication is he's not happy with the Warriors. The presumption is that it stems from whatever role Warriors officials played in his decision to suit up. Steve Kerr says he was told Durant could not further injure himself by playing, which obviously proved not to be true. If Durant was told the same, it would give credence to the notion that, as one league executive claims, he's really pissed off at the Warriors. He goes on to say Jay Williams, who's close with Durant, said the Warriors misdiagnosed Durant, mishandled public statements about him. Williams doesn't necessarily speak for Durant, but that might be the best indicator so far of Durant's mindset.
Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong.
Poor Bob Myers is still crying. And this is another one. Sources familiar with Durant's off-court business say Durant has since purchased a new home in New York, moved his belongings there. We already know Kyrie has moved where? To New Jersey. He just bought a new house. Durant decided, instead of getting the surgery done out there in San Francisco, where did he go? He went to New York to get it done.
I'm lucky to know him.
So the problem may be...
I'm lucky to know him.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you're Kevin Durant, you know, again, first of all, I think the whole thing was really stupid. And we argued this the other day about, like, I don't think it was fluke. I think something was going on down there with his calf, his Achilles. And to think that it couldn't get worse, I think, is ridiculous.
Yep.
But if he was told that, you know, and then you tear your Achilles, ruptured Achilles in a game, Would you go back to them? I wouldn't. I mean, if that's what they were really told, listen, you can't make it worse. I wouldn't go back there to the doctors. I would be going to my own guy in New York.
Talk about,
right?
Talk about ego. They used his ego to get him back out in the court. Remember? They came out and said, no, Kevin was the one that wanted to play. He wanted to come back out and play.
Do you doubt that?
We cleared him, but he wanted... No, but I think they were using
it. If they misdiagnosed him, then he's got a... I would have a real issue. If he was misdiagnosed with... Let's call it... Hey, it's a stretch fracture. It's a stress fracture. No, it's actually broken, but they misdiagnosed you, so you're more prone to, you know, predisposed to getting an injury of worth, but not the same bone, but, you know, the soft tissue issues, like the tendons, the muscles, those types of injuries. Like, so he tore his Achilles. Okay. I just thought of it as a freak accident.
I don't think it was a freak accident based on what Lou just said, because it was right in the general area. So you had to be concerned that you weakened it with a slight tear or whatever. You weakened that area. To go out there and ask him to play, 12 minutes right out of the game.
Well, see, to me, that's a Steve Kerr problem. Steve Kerr not monitoring his minutes.
Yep.
So they say, hey, okay, you haven't played in forever. We're going to put you out in the NBA Finals. And we're going to just put you through the ringer. Hey, listen, it's like a stress test real time.
But I think Durant is also just pushing the blame because, you know, again, he's a big boy. And you said, I don't think they needed to pressure him because I think the pressure was already there for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he made that comment. What was it? Kevin Durant's worst nightmare?
Yeah.
Them winning without him. And he responded on Twitter, really worst nightmare. So he started seeing stuff. You know, every time you turn on ESPN, it was, what does it mean for Kevin Durant if Golden State wins it without him? You know, and that was a big topic going into it. So he probably was like, all right, I'm going to play in this. And we're going to win it with me. And I'm going to end up being a hero because I'm going to end up playing with an injury. So I'm sure a lot of those things are going on in his mind. He pushed it. But if the medical staff said it can't get any worse, I mean,
yeah, but talking about a
miss.
You know when you get surgery, most doctors will say, hey, okay, nothing's going to go wrong. I mean, legally, I have to tell you that there is a slight chance this can go wrong, that can go wrong. But realistically, nothing's going to happen. You'll be fine. So on the crazy chance that, okay, something does go wrong, you're still liable for telling him, oh, you told me nothing would go wrong. But I also told you that, yes, it could go, but it never does.
We made this argument the other day, but obviously there was something going on with below his knee, a muscle, right? Calf, Achilles, whatever you want to call it. If he dislocated his right shoulder, I would have called that a fluke. If he blew his back out, I would have called that a fluke. But it was obviously something going on below that knee on that leg. Whether it was a calf, torn calf, slight torn Achilles, I don't know. And then he blew that thing out. That's why I don't call it a fluke.
And he might be pissed off right now because he had another doctor, maybe a doctor in New York, who said,
you should have never played for him.
Right.
That's every second doctor. Right. Oh, exactly. If you are my patient, right. I never would have had
suddenly, so he's gotta,
you.
But it
Please.
sounds to me, we're hearing it from numerous sources, it sounds to me like he's pissed off at Golden State. So we're going to get to the phone calls coming up next. So where does it go from here? It's easy for him. New York or Brooklyn will pick him up for 5 years, maximum contract, $180 million, and won't even worry about the Achilles injury. But suppose he wants to go to the Knicks, and Kyrie wants to go to the Nets. How does that benefit either one of those, and what does it all mean for the Boston Celtics? We get to all of that next in your phone call, 617-779-7937.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
You've been asking these guys all morning if there's somebody to blame.
Yes.
Yes, there is somebody to blame. The Golden State Warriors for putting KD out there. That was not right. Article comes out KD's worst nightmare. The Warriors are winning without him. The Warriors are really unhappy when KD won't risk his Achilles. Now this man has to be feeling some type of way. So I blame the Warriors for KD getting hurt, and I don't care what they say about it.
I don't believe there's anybody to blame. He's one of the most misunderstood people.
So if Kevin Durant is as pissed off...
Not anymore.
...as Rick Bucher claims he is with the Golden State Warriors, as pissed as Charles is at the Golden State Warriors... Why would he go back to the Golden State Warriors? He's got options, right? The Knicks are willing to give him 5 years and maximum contract. The Nets are willing to give him maximum contract.
He's really going. The reason why he'd be going back there, right? Like, as you pointed out, maybe to make more money, right?
Yeah,
Supermax, whatever, to get that extra year,
right?
But to me, if he doesn't trust the medical staff, why would you go back there and rehab?
Well, it gets even better.
But a lot of guys, a bunch of different sports, they just rehab where their home is or where they feel more comfortable. They don't want to be in the city where the team is. They want to rehab on their own.
But you don't think the team would sit there and pay them that kind of cash and be like, you know, you're still our property. We would like for you to work with our staff. I'm just saying, if he is that kind of feelings towards this medical staff, he'll want nothing to do with them.
Okay, well, here's the problem.
He doesn't trust them anymore.
No, he does not.
Right?
He does not, because I just told you.
I would just say that's no different than even if they have a good relationship. Some guys, come on, you know this. Like, they just have their own doctors.
Yes.
They want to get out of the city.
Same thing. I came back here and saw my guy when I was with the Angels.
Yeah. So, right,
do me a favor.
You're a local guy.
Okay, you guys both played sports. You tell me what this tells you, okay? He was pissed off at the Golden State Warriors. He could have had surgery done by their doctors out there in Golden State. Instead, he elected to come to New York, all right, to get his ruptured Achilles tendon operated on. The doctor who performed the surgery was the same doctor who performed surgery on his broken foot 4 years ago. His name is Dr. Martin O'Malley. He's an orthopedic specialist who is also the chief doctor for the Brooklyn Nets. What does that tell you?
So he already has a pre-existing relationship with this doctor. So there's trust there.
That, yeah.
So that doesn't matter to me.
He's associated with the Nets.
I don't think that matters.
And the Nets is a place he can go.
You don't go to a team because you like their doctor.
No, but he's the guy.
Even if he's with the Knicks, you don't think he can still see this guy? He's with Golden State and he's seeing this guy.
Right.
So no matter where he goes, he can still continue to see this guy. He doesn't need to be property of the Nets to do it.
Yeah, it's easy to make that connection, but he had surgery with him when he was on another team.
Yeah.
And there's tons of doctors here locally, the Patriots team doctor, the Red Sox, the Bruins. They have other players that come from other cities because they live here or they've gotten a good recommendation.
So it would be a total waste of time for both Kevin Durant, who's not going to play next year and who knows what he looks like a year from now, and for Kyrie Irving to sign on separate teams in the metro New York area. How would that make any sense? So one signs with the Knicks, and they suck because they've got nobody, right? So it's another bad year next year. And then the following year, he comes back, and who knows who they're going to be able to get with him. And why would it make any sense for Kyrie to do it in Brooklyn?
It makes no sense for these two guys. One to go to Brooklyn, one to go to New York.
None.
Right?
Zero.
But also, if you're looking at Kevin Durant, let's just say there is a contract. It's already typed up. All you have to do is sign your name, fill in the blanks, signature here and there, whatever, initials. If you're the Brooklyn Nets, haven't all your plans changed with the fact that he got hurt?
I will sign my name.
Why are you gonna sit there and assume that everything's gonna be fine with Durant? And plus, oh, by the way, a year goes by, and he decides, you know what, I don't like it, period.
No, I don't think it'll change at all. I think if you're the Brooklyn Nets, this is your opportunity to get a viable superstar. Now, are you taking a risk? Absolutely. But what's the alternative if you're Brooklyn?
See, I don't think hitching your wagon to a player who you signed to a 4-year deal.
What's your alternative?
Okay, so it's going to be a 42 or 40 team
for the next 5 years.
But it's not going to be a 5-year straight. There's going to be opt outs. He's going to have an opt out after the second year.
Correct.
So he'll rehab the first year. Won't play at all.
Everybody's got opt outs.
Okay, but you're gonna pay him all that money, commit all those resources instead of just going a different direction.
Yeah, but here's the thing. But the resources you're talking about is money.
Yeah,
it's not like you're giving up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to get him. So if he does opt out, it's unfortunate. Money frees up. It's unfortunate. But, you know, he's gone. Depending on what you do with the rest of your roster, we know just because somebody with $35 million leaves doesn't mean you could spend it. We know that now here in Boston. But I think these teams like New York, and maybe Boston was like this with Kyrie, they're desperate. And yep. There's not many of these guys around. And if you got an opportunity to get, you know, Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant, even if it's not the perfect situation, you do it.
Well,
you're desperate.
The other thing is that if he really is upset and is holding a grudge against the Golden State Warriors for putting him in a position that he shouldn't have been in, even though he knew what the ramifications would or could be and what the risk were, realistic, low as they were, there were risk. So whatever, they clear him. He decides to play. He hurts himself. His only option, because he's so disgusted with the Golden State Warriors, he can't, even though he may want to stay there, he's just too pissed off.
Yeah, but let's
go. That makes more sense for him to stay there for 1 year rehab and then leave, opt in.
But go look at it even before the injury happened. Everybody in the world was saying he was going to the New York Knicks. And I think that was the original plan. If he wanted to go to the New York Knicks, forget Kyrie. He wasn't in the equation at the time. It was all Kevin Durant. And what's probably happened in all of this is that the Knicks have been a disaster. This James Dolan got himself a $50,000 fine this weekend because he banned a reporter, an entire newspaper, from showing up at a press conference. He's a nut job, okay? He's throwing out fans. And I'm sure this got to Durant. And then finally, Kyrie enters the picture. He's dissatisfied in Boston. They talk together. There are already reports we read about him. They were together in New York. Kyrie flew out to Golden State during the injury situation. He spent time with him out there. Now they want to go together, and they finally move on from the Knicks, and they move to the Nets. They're both in the metro New York area, and they're for a team they feel more comfortable with. And, oh, yeah, his doctor just happens to be on site right there in Brooklyn. Perfect situation for all.
Is that a good business decision?
I don't know, but I think it's going to happen. I think you're going to get Durant and Kyrie. Now, next year, they're not going to be a problem for the Celtics. You've already seen the Chris Haynes report out today that Kawhi Leonard is opting out of his $21 million deal, but that he is seriously considering re-signing in Toronto, maybe with the two-year opt-out or whatever, but he loves what happened last year. He loves the city. He loves they're treating him like the
he's going to take
like
that
the,
condo
like
that
the
guy was going to give
oh,
him.
Oh, they're treating him they're like a king
him.
Up there. He's the most popular person in the entire country
yeah,
right now. So now you've got a powerhouse in Toronto, right there, the defending NBA champs. You've got a future, really solid team in Brooklyn. You've already got Milwaukee that's better than you right now, and you've got Philadelphia that could be better than you. What does this all mean for the Celtics?
What do you mean, what does it mean for the
what
Celtics?
What does it mean for the Celtics? Where do they fit in?
They're not getting anybody.
No.
Where do they fit in?
Well, they're the fourth seed. They're the fifth, maybe sixth seed, depending on who pans out.
There's a lot of stuff to happen. Because we've took the calls last week about how the East, everyone's going to suck. Right, Kawhi's leaving Toronto. Chris Middleton is going to leave Milwaukee. Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler are going to be gone out of Philly. Well, we have to wait and see because, as we all know, there's a very good chance, especially a guy like Chris Middleton, just re-ups in Milwaukee.
I think he is going to.
And he stays there.
That's the report.
And there's a very good chance that either Jimmy Butler, or maybe they lose Jimmy Butler, but Tobias Harris stays. That's why they brought him in anyways, the hopes that maybe they can keep one of
two.
Them, right?
Yep.
And now it looks like maybe Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto. So where are those guys now? And we'll wait and see how the whole thing unfolds, but there's a good chance that nothing really changes.
So the only...
And by the way, Indiana will get Oladipo back.
Yeah. And money. They have tons of money. They could go out and sign somebody.
Right.
So what does it tell you? The only people that have left their present team...
Yours.
Are yours.
Yeah, that's the only thing
yours.
We know.
Now, I hear people talking about Terry Rozier, and most people just don't like him now after he did the car wash the thing with
ESPN.
With ESPN when he was saying all the crazy stuff. I had somebody give me an interesting take on this this weekend, somebody who would know an awful lot about this, and said to me, the Celtics should do nothing with Terry Rozier right now. First of all, he is a restricted free agent at $4.3 million. If you look around the league, why would another team come after Terry Rozier unless they believe, truly believe, that he is the answer for them at point guard? Now, a year ago, that might have been a possibility. After this past year, I'm not sure. Let's say we're right and Durant and Kyrie end up going to the Nets. why would the Knicks start spending crazy money? They got a point guard. Why would they start spending money on, you know, your mid-level or lower than mid-level players? They'll save their money for next year, and they'll go back into the free agency pool and see if they can get a superstar. So, and other teams might look at it and say, well, Rozier's worth like $10 million, $12 million for us. But Boston will simply match that. So what are we wasting our time with any of this stuff? There's a possibility, and the same thing happened with Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart went out there as a restricted free agent, and what happened? Nobody offered him anything. So if you're Boston, you might get Terry Rozier back at $4.3 million next year. There's no reason for you because you still don't know what he is, what his mindset is going to be. He might come back. Now, he may be very pissed off coming back at $4.3 million.
We had five, the first five, and then we had a second five.
But you don't do anything with him unless another team comes in there. There's no reason to sit down and negotiate with him. Marcus Smart was a different story.
Negotiate against yourself, yeah.
Exactly. So you might have him for $4.3 million, and you can use all of this cap money now and then sign him after you go and sign somebody else. But what does your team really look like? I mean, are we worse than our time with Kemba Walker? Why are people even talking about
it? What was that poll? May 14th, we had that poll?
May 14th, we threw out a poll question. OMF on WEI, do you want Terry Rozier to play next season for the Celtics? 71% said no.
They're crazy.
You need a guard.
I'm not crazy about the player.
You don't have a guard.
You don't have a guard.
How
you need
that?
Let's make a deal for Bradley Effin Beal.
Yeah,
Terry Rozier is going to be on your team.
Yeah, well, it is.
And you need him.
Because there'll be some teams out there, like you said, let's say New York swings and misses. But if nothing else, they're going to want probably one-year guys. Kind of like what you do.
They're going to fill in.
They don't want a four-year deal. You know, and you could talk about two or three teams that took these point guards in the first round. Because we went through it before. How many teams realistically could Terry Rozier really start for?
Right.
And it wasn't 10, you know, 15 teams. I mean, point guard wise, he's probably the 20th, 25th best point guard, and some other teams might have a kid they want there.
Right.
So maybe you'll bring him in, you know, at a $13 million. I don't know, maybe if you can afford it, to be like another point guard, but he's going to want to go, given what you heard from him this year, to be the starter because it's Terry time, scary Terry time, right? So I don't really think many teams we'll be in on this guy.
So another,
all it takes is one.
That's
but
it.
It's got to be the right spot, yeah, right situation.
But it's not like some team's going to come in and offer him $20 million. If some team comes in, they offer him 12. All Boston has to do is match it, and then they could even deal him away to the other team. They could say, "Okay, we're going to match it. You give us a draft pick for next year. You give us something. They can play some games with him." I just don't think there's any reason to do anything with Rozier.
Last offseason was the time for him to cash in.
Yes.
This kind of reminds me, like, you know, remember when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded to San Fran and made all his cash? Well, imagine, like, after that game and a half, he had to play the following year and wasn't good. Jimmy Garoppolo. Wasn't good at all. Well, you know what I mean? Like, would teams be lining up to trade and give Jimmy Garoppolo $100 million?
What about the system, Kristen?
So Jimmy left at the right time. Rozier, unfortunately, last offseason should have been
restricted. And that's another reason why he was so pissed, because he was never really able to finish go into the next season after having such a good postseason.
Well, he can blame himself.
He's blaming Kyrie Irving and probably Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. That's what he's probably
blaming himself, though.
If I had voted in the poll, I would have voted for Danny Ainge.
The kid Van Fleet up in Toronto.
Yes.
Was he the starting point guard?
No. He was a backup point guard.
A lot of teams wish they had him now, given what they saw him do.
Yeah.
Accepted his role.
Right.
Took his role.
Yep.
Backup point guard. Now a lot of teams like, man, I wonder how we can get a hold of hands on this guy.
Yeah.
We think he can play for us. But no, this kid refused to accept his role. This kid, when he went into the game, wasn't a good player, and then tried to blame everybody else for it.
Well, that's
playing time. Yeah, whatever. See, you had a role. You didn't go out and do your job, and because of it, you're going to pay the price.
I don't think you're going to get
out there. I feel like a lot of guys would be mixed up.
I don't think you're going to get a team that's going to come in and say, "We'll offer you $7 million, $8 million to be the backup." Or, you know, you're not going to do it unless you have a starting role for Terry Rozier. I don't think you do it. And Boston shouldn't do anything, and they should bring him back at $4.3 million. All right, we get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. There's some people on there right now. We got an open line. We'll go to the calls next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
They'll have Clay back in around February, March. KD might miss the whole season, but for him, it's good to get away from the game.
You want to tell us where they're going to re-sign?
I think they'll both be back with the Golden State Warriors. We're like brothers. Wow. We keep in contact. But regardless of any of that, if both did decide to leave, they would still be my brother. I still keep in contact with them as much as possible. And I just wish the best for both of those guys. They come back full strength.
You're crushing the Knicks fans here with this kind of...
Nobody's going to the Knicks, sorry.
Nobody?
Andre Iguodala making those comments, and so everybody's taking him for exactly what
nobody's
he's saying.
Going,
he
said, nobody's going to New York.
They're coming back to Golden State. It's a teammate who's sitting there making a statement because he wants him back, right? That's what he's doing. Yeah. That doesn't mean that he's definitely coming back to Golden State. Come on.
Was that a wish list or was that an actual fact?
Not a fact.
Real insider information.
I would not take that as a fact. Any player that...
Yeah, it's just a guy that wants his teammates.
Exactly.
Back.
All right, to the phone calls we go. Here's Mike in the car. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
this
Mike.
Afternoon? I think anybody who follows the NBA kind of knew Kawhi Leonard was going to opt out of his contract based on the fact that he can get the max deal.
Well, they all are.
And it's the same exact situation Kyrie is in. He said it from the beginning. He's not going to sign an extension until the free agency begins because that's when he'll be eligible to get the Supermax contract. Since the beginning of the season, the Celtics reporters, you know, Scal, Draper, Blakely, all of them have been recording from the beginning that his circle is tight. And it pretty consists with his father. And he's been saying from the beginning he's going to sign with the Celtics. Came out with a commercial about the whole number of retiring in the Raptors. And all of a sudden, and this team starts getting a little shaky. And then he throws out the comment out there, you know, talk to me on July 1st. After all the times he kept saying he was going to sign back with the Celtics, and even going into the playoffs, he was talking about this is why Boston brought me here. This is why Danny Ainge brought me here. I think... Now, I wouldn't surprise me at all if Kyrie were to sign back, and this has been but a big TMZ media fest with no type of factual facts because of the fact that, has anybody heard from Kyrie?
Yes,
he's in Japan doing a documentary.
Well, you didn't, why don't you read that quote again? Do you have that quote?
Yeah, the ego thing.
It's something about one-hand clap.
Mike, hold on 1 second. You're correct, technically. That they can't sign until July 1st. You're not that naive to believe that they haven't already talked to the teams and figured out what they're doing, right?
I'm not naive into believing that, but at the same time, there's nothing sketched in stone that the man isn't going to return or he's going to sign somewhere else. Considering from the beginning, your own reporters reporting that there's a tight circle within him and his father, and he's been saying from the beginning he wants to sign with Boston.
So you really believe he's coming? You really believe he's coming back?
I believe he's coming back.
Do you want him back, Mike?
Of course, absolutely. We're a better team with him. I'm sure the chemistry could be figured out with Tatum and Brown. It could be. And Kyrie, and I'm sorry, with Terry Rozier, the signing of the kid from Indiana is a good signing. And the fact that I think they're ready to move on from Terry and backing up this kid, Romeo will be backing up Kyrie. And by the way, we do have a point guard either way in Marcus Smart.
Oh, my God.
Well, fine.
Okay. He's all over the place. But he just loves
the
Celtics.
You let him
go
for a while.
Because I didn't know where he was going. Because Danny Ainge and Wick Grosbeck are the greatest actors in the world. If Kyrie Irving is definitely coming back to Boston right now, and they're putting up a good face or whatever.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Come on.
I can say, forget about what they're doing and saying now. I feel like all you have to do is just look back through the season, and then you'll have these, aha, I get it. Why didn't I see it? Why couldn't? Because you're just so focused on what he said earlier in the season. Hey, I'm coming back if you'll have me. Commercial with his dad.
Long
I want to be in
ago.
The Raptors.
He's the reason I wear number 11. Even
Danny Ainge. Hey, we're engaged. Oh, we're not going to break off the engagement. To me, that was about as of a... I was surprised even Danny Ainge said that.
Well, he was joking.
You're
at the
admitting?
Time. He
joking
he was serious. At time. No, he was joking because he felt really good about when the situation.
You, I mean,
he's no longer joking.
But he believed it was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, when you listen to Wick talk and Danny talk now,
different.
If Kyrie, if it was still just a smokescreen, like, guys, there's a lot of noise out here, but nothing has changed. You know what I mean? Just you would sense that in the way they talk. They're not talking like that. They're talking about the next step. They're talking about, Danny's talking more about, you know, almost having the kids playing on the same page again. You know, and like Wick is just, it sounds like they have moved on from Kyrie Irving and, well, Danny Ainge and Wick.
Well, Danny was always,
I think it'd be completely different if they still felt like, you know, that he was definitely coming here. In their private conversations, like, guys, don't listen to any of the noise. I still plan on coming back. I don't know what, I'm opting out. That's just a part of the business. But, yeah, I still plan on coming back. If that was the case, Danny and Wick would sound a lot different than they have in the last
year. I saw Danny today with the four kids up at the podium, and he was all excited about the challenge with the young kids and whatever. If we went back 3 or 4 weeks ago, anybody think Danny Ainge wanted to draft four kids out of this draft? Are you kidding me? No way. He's forced to right now because that's the position he's in. The only thing I would say to this last guy, because I think he misses how this stuff happens, all of these guys are talking right now, even though you're not supposed to. How is it that on July 1st at about 12.05 a.m., Wojnarowski will probably break about three free agent signings? How did they all do it from 12 o'clock to 12.05? How did they all put it all together? Because there's a lot involved in that, right? Come on. They're all dealing with it right now.
Break it before that.
What's that?
He'll break it before that.
He might break it before that. They're all dealing with it now, and they just can't officially announce anything until 12 o'clock. The only chance you have of Kyrie Irving coming back is based on what that last caller said. He's extremely impulsive, and we've heard him change his mind a million times. Maybe he has problems with Brooklyn. Maybe at the last second, suddenly Durant decides I'm going back to Golden State.
Brooklyn doesn't want him.
Or going to the Knicks. Or they don't want him to be an individual guy. We need two of you. We don't need one star. And he suddenly says, then I'm going back to Boston. That's the only way you get him. And by the way, Danny would take him in a heartbeat. Sorry. I know that's going to piss some people off. Danny would take him in a heartbeat. Know. Here's Paul in New Hampshire. Hello, Paul.
Thank you for taking my call.
Can you speak into the
speaking into a can?
The
There's a string attached to
on
a can. Comes right to the studio.
Speakerphone.
All right, say goodbye. Say goodbye. I can't hear him. Let me ask you this though, Glenn. So you say that Danny would take him. More time that goes by, and the more you hear, and the more it's obvious what was really going on. You think he would?
Yes.
You think he would allow? He would tie himself to Kyrie Irving, knowing?
Yes.
What he's like?
Yes, again.
It's not. I don't think it's worth it because he can do more harm than good.
Can I say yes again?
Say it again.
Say it one more
yes,
time.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, I don't know.
Because he holds on to an asset, okay? So next year's going to be a throwaway year anyway. That's the way he's looking at it. I know.
Well, now he is.
Green Tamers are going to tell you how wonderful it's going to be next year. It's going to be a throwaway. They're not going to be a contender. They might be a cute little team. They might play their ass off every night. They might even be likable.
If you bring back Kyrie. Yeah.
What?
They will not be likable. No, they will not.
You better win. Let's say you open up some space right now. Let's say you do sign, you know, the big white whale out there right now for the Celtics, Nikola Vucevic.
Vucevic.
Now you got your center. You bring back
Kyrie.
You're
not signing him either, brother.
You telling me you think that's a throwaway season? Now we're in the same boat again. We're going to be in the exact same boat. Kyrie, Jalen, Tatum, Hayward.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're a contender. I mean, let's face it. You don't have Horford, and I know you think, you know, not that much
life
of the guy.
Life goes on.
Okay, but and you don't have Anthony Davis. I mean, the original plan was Kyrie and Anthony Davis. Are you a contender with Kyrie and Anthony Davis? Absolutely. And that was Danny's original plan. He didn't get it. The fact is, if Kyrie comes back to him, tail between his legs, and says, I'll take the 5 years, Danny has to do that because now you have a superstar signed for the next 5 years, even with a 2 or 3 year out. You have him as an asset.
Bark like a dog.
You can trade him away next year or the year after. You have to keep him for, what, 6 months. You can deal him away. That's what you – it's all about assets. It's all about holding contracts. It's all about having the flexibility to deal him for another superstar.
Well, when you explain it that way, then, okay, fine. Let me just grab the asset with no real intention of actually using it for my benefit.
Well, maybe he changes. Maybe Kyrie's because learned his lesson.
No,
he's good. But that's the way you've got to look at it if you're running an NBA team.
No, fine.
You can't
look
sit there and
way.
Say, we're going to take these little kids, and we're going to wait until these kids. I mean, you know, the Green Teamers today salivating over the four kids that they threw out at the
Who's
podium
salivating
today.
Salivating over those guys?
Oh, they're excited.
You talk about
I saw it on Twitter today.
It's a shell game.
They're excited.
Oh, Grant Williams looks so respectful. What this guy was last year.
He's the one kid. This Grant Williams is the one kid. Somebody on the draft night compared him to P.J. Tucker, and the more I see of Grant Williams looking at video of him, he does look a little bit the way he,
the
way he plays.
The all 10?
All 10.
You get a, like,
all 10. No, I just got the regular TV view of it. But he's a guy that you could see having a 10 or 12-year NBA career and being a decent player
Assistant,
or a role player.
Trustworthy.
But if we're talking about a superstar?
Nope.
No, come on.
No, your superstar is one of the two guys you have on your team.
Exactly.
I don't know if they'll ever be one.
Exactly.
But
if they're not, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm.
You have Gordon Hayward. He is a superstar. He's getting paid like one. You got him in free agency like one. You paid him. There's your superstar.
I saw Jackie McMullen last night. She was on Channel 7, the late night show, the 11:30 show, and she was talking about
him. You stay up late.
What time do you go to bed?
10? I'm in 10, bed 11? At 9:30.
I had to watch City on a Hill
Depends
again
what's
last
on.
Night.
Depends what's keeping me awake.
Have you seen City on a Hill yet?
No, you mentioned that to me. And you're,
it's
are
Boston
you in
1992.
Are you in it?
No, I'm not in it.
Oh, Ordway,
sure?
Ordway in his prime.
Nope. Lenny Clark got a little... a small part in episode one.
Are they allowed to
My
make
buddy
movies?
Kevin Chapman is in it. He's a star in it.
Again,
I
here we go.
I was the talk. I said, I can feel that. No problem.
Are they allowed?
It's good.
When outside production companies come to Boston, are they legally required to have Lenny Clark in that movie?
I think
or
they
in
are.
That show?
I think they
is
are.
There a movie that
leave.
Is produced
it's
in Boston
point.
Without him in it?
It is a very good point.
He's in everything.
It is a good point. No, Kevin Bacon is the lead in this. It's a good show. It is really good.
And you're not referenced one time.
No, you know what pisses me off, though?
I don't believe it.
There's a voice in there.
There's something to this. He wants
Nothing.
Us to watch
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch
they reference Boston and Boston sports.
Oh, jeez, I didn't realize I was.
Oh, is that me they're talking about?
I didn't realize I was in it.
But you know what pisses me off right now? And I always loved HBO and Showtime when they do these series or whatever. But since Netflix came around and Amazon Prime, you could sit there and binge watch an entire season, right?
Yeah.
You can watch the whole season.
Yep.
So I love binge watching and sitting there and watching an entire season. You'll do it through a whole weekend and you'll do it through a week period of time. The problem when you fall in love with a show that you really like that's on HBO or Showtime, you have to wait an entire week to get the next episode. It pisses me off.
That's old school. Yeah, I know, but there is something to the anticipation of it
coming up. Not for me.
Oh, you've changed. You're a millennial now.
You're thinking like a young millennial.
I want it now. God forbid you wait.
I am. I can't wait for these things.
What am I going to do?
So anyway, she was talking to Jackie McMullen about Gordon Hayward. And she said, I think he's going to be good this year. I know he's been working out and doing everything he's supposed to do. But I think it's all in his head now. It's a mental thing. So I don't know. So suppose he comes back. And it is a mental thing, and he can't get over the hump.
First off, let's get that straight. It is all mental right now. That's what it is. Because there's games when he showed, you know, and so I don't think it's physical anymore. You know, he's well beyond the injury at this point right now. I think it's just this fear of going out there and playing. It's a lack of confidence. It's a fear of possibly doing it again. I don't know. To me, this injury at this point for him is all mental. And it was the second half of the season last year.
Okay, so is there more pressure on him this upcoming season, or was there last year?
I would say this year.
Yep. That's what I think. Because suddenly Kyrie's gone.
Last year he had the excuse.
Right. Suddenly Kyrie's gone. Last year you could look at it and say he's coming back from a
severe
injury.
I don't know how those three guys fit, to be honest with you.
I don't either.
I don't. I mean, I don't know what will change. And I know, you know, if Kyrie is gone, there's some shots there and Al doing his thing. But Jaylen Tatum and Hayward, I still don't know how that mixes. Like, and I know you probably can't get rid of Hayward's contract. I get that. But I don't know how those three mix together.
So you don't
do you start 2-3-4? Is that what you do? Positionless basketball?
They start together.
Okay,
all three of them are on the court at the same time to start the game. I don't know how else you want to mix it up, but it would be silly.
If you play a team that has a center and then a mobile four, you know what I mean? A guy like Al Horford.
True.
Hayward covers Al Horford?
If
you play the Celtics, you got Baines at center and Horford at the four. Who covers Al?
Well,
Gordon Hayward?
Hell bent on revenge.
Jason Tatum?
You better re-sign Al.
No, I'm just saying that type of team. If you play a team that plays small, that's one thing. But, you know, 2-3-4, you can talk about positionless basketball you want, but you're going to run into a team that's got a pretty, you know, a big four.
See, I'm with Lou. I don't know if these three mix, and I'll give you an example of it this past year. You can look back at it. How many times did they have a game where one of these guys would have a pretty good game, but in the fourth quarter, it was Kyrie who closed out the game, right?
That's gonna be hard. You're gonna have
who's closing out the game in the fourth quarter?
All three of these guys should be starting.
But they're all wing players.
I get it. They have a huge problem. Why can't one be a guard? Can one be a guard? Can Tatum be a guard? Yes. Honestly.
Jalen's your guard.
Then you be your guard. Okay, that's fine. And then you fill in the blanks. But his point
is one of them has to play at a power forward. Now,
they play Tatum at the power forward
at times. With small lineups, he can do that.
Yeah.
But with a big lineup, if a team comes at with a big lineup.
Tatum's length?
Then what do you do?
Four?
Right.
So, I mean, it's just more of, I feel like Hayward's going to be out there and he's still going to look at like Tatum and Brown. And the issue last year to me was sort of like if he missed his first couple of shots, it was almost, you could just see it. It wasn't going to work for him that night. And it was almost like, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I know you guys are going to get your shots too. My bad. And that'll be the night where he takes four shots, because they're just in front of him and he can't turn them down. But there are other nights when he comes out and hits his first couple, or one of two, or two of three. Then we saw the aggressive Gordon Hayward. But I still feel like that mental game of, can I shoot or not? You know, with Tatum and Brown on the court with him, it's still going to be there.
He's got to be your star in this team. He's your best player. Now, Tatum's got great upside. Brown does as well. But Hayward's there. And he's healthy now. He's got to be the guy. And I think there's going to be tremendous pressure. And we don't know. How is he going to deal with the pressure? Because last year he had an excuse. Obviously, the year before, he had a clear-cut excuse. No more excuse. People are going to expect him to be that guy. And I'm not sure he's going to be that guy.
They got to play Aaron Baines more.
He's not around anymore. I can't. This hour brought to you by FW Web Company. We got another hour to go. We'll get back to the phone calls, and we'll go about 30 minutes here, commercial free.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.